Hello, hi, it's your girl, Mommy Dearest.
Hi, I'm Kai, aka Adi.
And welcome to Thought Digest, where we
amplify conversations
one
one
thought
thought
at
at
a
a time.
time. Dun, dun, dun,
We're like how many episodes away
dun.
from episode 10?
One.
One.
This is
One.
episode 9, and then we're dropping episode 10. I'm so excited for
I'm also very
episode
excited.
10. I'm very excited
It feels like more than 10, I can't lie to you.
I think we've been doing this for a while. Remember, we've been shooting since Feb.
Has it been since Feb?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like three hairstyles ago.
Yeah, like three
That's how
hairstyles.
I count the time, by the
Like,
way.
literally. Because every hairstyle is a month.
Yeah,
Like,
every
a
hairstyle is a
month,
month
2 weeks.
or three weeks.
You know? So, yeah,
That's how I
literally.
count the
They've
time.
seen us, like. Okay, for me, they've missed some of my hairstyles, even, hey?
Which hairstyle did they miss? Because we saw the locks, we saw the
You saw the locks
bob,
one episode.
and the
The bob,
bob.
this one, and
This
then I think I had
one.
another form of
You had
braid,
Fulani
guys.
braids.
I don't think they saw those.
Yeah, bruh, we saw your Fulani braids.
Oh yes, I had Fulani braids. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Fair
Yeah.
enough. Fair enough.
We're such girls.
That's so real.
How did we start off
That's
just
so
talking about
real.
three hairstyles ago?
I guess we are here to inspire in style, hair, and looks. Are
That's
you
true, that's true, that's
inspired?
true, that's true.
Are you
That's
inspired?
true, that's true. We need a makeup sponsor. Oh, actually, somebody hit me up to be our makeup artist, like to do touch-ups
Really?
on sets. I just didn't respond to them.
Please respond. We like that would save us so much
So
time,
much time,
because I feel
bruh,
like another reason why we take time to come on
is
set
the
is the
makeup.
makeup.
And
Sorry,
sometimes we don't even
guys,
do full
sorry.
faces. Like, thank God to our editor because he makes us look scrumdiddly yum yum.
He makes us
But
look.
most of the time, it's not full faces, guys. Especially me. What? From the foundation to the what? To the what? To the powder to the. Wow.
I told
Being
you,
a
remember
woman's
I was
opinion is
like,
bigger.
after like watching, like I think there was two episodes straight where I didn't have, I was barefaced,
Yeah.
and I came back and I told you, I was like, they're never gonna see me barefaced ever again.
What?
And I have made sure, because I feel like there's something about camera lighting that makes you look I don't know, crisp, and the crisp look does not suit me. Like, I don't look nice crisp. I look nice like
You look nice
smooth.
either
I
way.
look nice
Those people
smoothed
with
out.
perfect skin make me sick. They make me sick. I don't like that. You've got gorgeous skin.
I am not denying the fact that my
So,
skin is nice.
what's the problem?
The problem is I look crisp.
Is crisp is a good thing, no?
Not smooth, smooth. I must be smoothed out. I must be smoothed out. But
Whatever.
anyways, how was your week this week?
Whatever. My heart is heavy. Because
What?
of Mpho's passing.
Oh, that was
That was
yesterday morning. Yeah,
yesterday.
yesterday morning.
And sure. It just reminded me how frail life is
Ooh.
and how short of a time we have here. He was incredible, man. He was a phenomenal thespian and a phenomenal individual. Like if any you've come across him, he's always been light, and it sucks to just have to do life with people who lit up our world. You know, South Africa loses another one of its artists, and we have to pick up where they left off. I think the justice we have to do for them is to live on, you know, their legacy in particular. So yeah, that's the first thing that comes to mind, life update wise. And secondly, there's something in the atmosphere. I don't feel like myself. I haven't felt like myself for the past 2 weeks. I feel heavy.
That's so real.
And
Like,
I said this last
last week, you're
week.
still feeling
What the
heavy.
heck? Where's the progress? But I guess
Amen.
it's
What
a
can we do? Sometimes, like, things like, I also feel heavy for some odd reason.
yeah.
Like, yo, guys, ngiyashiselwa, like, it's hot. Like, not like in the sense of like the heat, but
Yeah.
like, you know, the feeling of like humidity. Have you ever, like, you know, like when you're in an environment that's very humid, how like claustrophobic it feels? I feel like that's how I'm feeling, you know? And I'm honestly tired. Like, have you ever been so tired? Like, I've been going, guys, I've had this one struggle for the longest of times. And it's like, okay, I've been praying for a breakthrough for so long. And I'm still struggling that same struggle. I'm still going through that same thing. And I'm like, bruh, like, I'm tired. I'm tired of the same problem. Like, I need something
I'm
new.
tired of saying I'm tired. At this point, let me just ride this one out, bro. And you I've been the
riding.
Part.
You know, have you ever been like riding for so long? Like, can the you're just like riding the same wave for so long. You're like, okay, no, let me just like ride it out. Let me just like let it go. Let me just like let it flow. Let me not think about. This wave is tiring.
Even just saying you're tired, I feel like low-key makes it worse. Because I think we've discussed just the power of words.
That's true.
And I feel just accepting tiredness as part of your being is also a massive part of the problem.
I guess, Anna, what can we do?
Charge it to the game, bro.
What can we do?
Like I said last week, charge it to the game. This life thing, yeah, you got to get up and grind. Hambukala, choo-choo, like a train, you get me?
Hey, man, I'm tired of crying, yo. I'm tired of
crying. Cry until you can't cry anymore.
But like, that's the thing.
The one thing I know is the sun is going to come up again tomorrow. Yo. And you're going to have to try
this
again.
This sun is playing hide and go seek. Like, time
peekaboo. Time stops for no man. You want to sit in your room and cry, go ahead. But trust and believe the clock will keep ticking, baby.
You got to keep moving.
That's the painful part even about life, even if
moving is
bro.
Not nice.
Even now, like, in terms of Mpho's passing, life goes on, unfortunately. And like I've expressed before on my Instagram threads, is that the most unpalatable part of grief is that time keeps moving while your heart stops. And South Africa's heart has stopped many times for the artists that we've lost. And in our individual lives, our hearts stop, but nobody else does. Time they just look at you and say, oh, sorry for what you're going through. But they keep going.
I feel like, you know what's the saddest part for me about like someone's passing is when your heart becomes okay with them not being here. You know, like when you can go about your day without fully missing their presence.
Yeah.
Because it's been so long since you've been in their presence that when now, like, you don't even remember what their presence was like. Like, yes, you have fond memories. Yes, you have sad, bad, whatever memories you may have. But, like, feeling them in your space, that feeling is no longer pungent. It's no longer here. Like, yeah. I feel like that's sad about loss. Because, like, if you think about it, like, you know Ricky Rick's passing, for instance, how, like, it impacted many of the youth and so many people in the industry and stuff. And when you think of, like, the atmosphere then with regards to his passing and the atmosphere now, it's like we have accepted he's gone. Different. You know, like, you know, we've accepted he's gone. All the things that people said they were going to change and do because he passed away, people have forgotten. And we have also forgotten to hold people accountable for those things. It's because time just keeps moving.
And so do people. That's heartbreaking.
Amen.
To know that at some point after I'm gone, I'm going to be forgotten too.
That's so real. I think that's okay.
At least y'all have these videos, praise God.
Y'all will come here when you miss us. You must come over here and check it out when you miss us. Ooh, but that we'll touch that on that when I speak about like one of my fears. Like there's a topic. Is it this episode? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But there's an episode where we discuss my fears.
You fear death?
Yes.
What?
I used to.
I embrace it with open arms.
I used to fear death. To go. But it's because I see death.
Oh. Save it. Yeah. Go ahead and save
it. I'll save it for that episode. I'll save. But on the life side, how life's been for me, I guess for me, it's besides being tired with this one problem, and I'm looking at God now with the side eye. Don't judge me, but I'm looking at God with the side eye right now.
Yeah.
But besides that, I think I went hiking yesterday.
Ooh.
I'm never doing that again. Like, guys, I've been putting myself through experiences that I'm like, I ain't doing that again because of, like, peer pressure. Guys, I hiked 10 kilometers.
Was it Esmajita who dragged you to the hiking?
Bruh, it wasn't even, like, an Esmajita thing, but the boys, like, Kunzi and Percy were there.
Yeah, of course.
And they're the ones who pressured me to do the 10 kilometers. I was like, okay with 5 and giving up and be like, okay, I'm taking my 5 and I'm going. They're like, nah, do the 10. You're going to feel accomplished afterwards. You're going to feel like a different person. The feeling's going to...
Stamina is for them to have, not for us.
Bruh, when I got to the 10, I was like, nah. Where's the accomplishment? Where is the...
Apparently, the reward is the view. Apparently. I wouldn't know.
When they, I remember like when one of the guys wanted to stop and look at the view, I was like, keep moving. Because if I stand now and I don't move, I'm not gonna walk anymore. Like you're gonna have to call a chopper to come fetch me.
Have you learned your lesson?
I have. I'm not doing 10-kilometer hikes again. Like I can do like
you're still gonna hike.
Like a young five, because I remember 5 kilometers, I was able to enjoy the view. I was even taking videos. Like, I was feeling myself. Like,
and then you still have to walk back down. That's my qualm with hiking.
But this hike was serious. Like, the rocks were rocking. Like, guys, like, we almost slipped and fell. Like, guys, it was not like a hike where you just walk and it's a trail. There was, guys, your trail was, like, maneuvering around bricks, going up the mountain, down the mountain, up the mountain again. Guys, I was using my hands at some point, like, trying to like just make
that
it out.
That doesn't interest me in the least. What on earth attracted you to hiking?
It was peer pressure.
Yeah. You learned the hard way. Where were you during LO?
We succumbed.
Where were you during LO?
We succumbed to peer
pressure. I've never succumbed to peer pressure.
I mean,
mostly because you know what Andrew Tate said? Oh my god. I know, crazy to quote Andrew Tate.
No, it's not.
But I
crazy.
Actually like that guy, okay?
I personally, I don't like him, but I don't dislike him. Because, like, with people, you can't agree with everything someone says.
Yeah.
But you also can't disagree with everything someone says.
Man, that guy onto something all the time. Like, if you look at the basis of why he's saying what he's saying, you're going to be like, this guy is so right.
Not all the time.
And he said, like, one of the things that stuck with me that he said, he's like, why would I listen to you when you aren't living a life I want to live? That's why I've never been peer pressured.
Because you're not living the life.
There's nothing about you that I want to attain. So why on earth would you influence me?
Deep.
Very narcissistic.
Very, but
I don't get a damn.
But it's fair. It's fair.
He makes a very valid point.
That's very valid. It's very valid.
It's why he's worth listening to.
No, I don't listen to sex traffickers.
Ow! Those were allegations. He was proven not guilty. Okay? So everybody's innocent until proven guilty. Anyway, we'll have a conversation about Andrew Tate another day. What's our game for today? Oh,
wait.
We're not really. What?
We still have something else. Short topic.
Oh, I was so ready.
Ready to play the game. Today's short topic is hygiene facts versus myths. Doom, 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 doom.
And I'm on the myths end. You're on the
facts end.
Facts end. Who wants to start?
Okay. Hygiene facts.
Okay.
You. I don't know how to say this fact. Hygiene fact. Public toilets are not necessarily dirty or dangerous. That's a fact. In fact, a public toilet can sometimes be cleaner than a woman's desk, work desk. I did my research.
You get that from like a South African health site.
Okay, that's so real. We need to take that into consideration. But I did my research and it's basically, you see the germs on the toilet. Yes, there are germs on toilet seats and stuff. But like there's also bacteria on your skin itself that like combats the germs on the seats. So it's not necessarily unsanitary. It's just like it's based off like your hygiene thingies.
Okay. With all that being said, are you gonna sit on the toilet seat in the public water?
No.
Exactly.
But it's a fact.
I don't care.
But it's a fact. But okay, fine.
A fact should move you. That does not sound like no fact.
No, but there's so many. But that's the thing with hygiene, it's cheeky because it got preference. More than anything.
I don't know anybody who's eager to use a public bathroom.
Yeah, because it's public. But who's to say that public bathroom is cleaner than your bathroom at home? Depends on what you do at home.
Girl, my bathroom at home is cleaner than that public one. Those ones where you pay 2 rand, them be the dirtiest, bro. When I think about it, the ones where you have to pay to enter, like, what? Those are the most dirty toilets they are, and you charging me? The audacity. What do you use that money on?
Really not that dangerous. According to
sahealth.co.za.
Come give us a myth.
Hot water kills germs.
That is a myth, yes.
That's a myth.
That really? Is a myth.
Somebody told me, like, the hotter the water, the... Wait, you lying. You didn't know that. Because in episode one, when we played... No, no, episode two, where we played who's most likely to kill somebody by food poisoning. And then I said something about salmonella. And you said you don't have to wash the chicken before you cook it because the hot water is going to kill all the germs.
No, not necessarily. It's actually, I said you don't have to wash the chicken before you cook it because it's more unsanitary to wash chicken before you cook it because chicken contaminates the entire sink and the entire kitchen. So when you cook the chicken, it's healthier. It's not that
hot water. What about cooking the chicken makes it healthier because the water's hot? Because
it's cooked.
Because the water's hot.
Because it's cooked, guys. It's cooked meat, guys. Sometimes, like, certain germs die at boiling temperature. Not all. But, like, it's more unsanitary. It's actually not advised to wash your chicken. Not because the pot will wash it, but because it's more dangerous to wash it.
I look, if you, like, don't wash the chicken at all, man. Because that's, like, where all the flavor is. I can't lie.
You just...
You know, the dirtiest food be the tastiest. Go on my mind, blah.
It's not even dirty, guys.
It is dirty,
you just take the meat to put it... Who told you you must wash meat? Who which white person sold you those lies? Have you tasted white food? Exactly. Exactly. So why are you be taking advice from them? What you said was, what did you say?
Melon.
You said that don't take advice from someone who you don't want, like whose life you don't want to live. Mm-hmm. I don't want to eat white tasting food.
I'm going to jump on that wagon. I do want the white life. I can't lie.
But the food, you want, what?
The food is a small price to pay for the privilege.
Okay, fair. Sharp. Okay, fair. Okay, then, the hot water one is so real.
I didn't know that. I really thought hot water killed germs.
No, it doesn't.
The other myth I saw was that you don't need to shower every day. I didn't put that in here because I don't believe that.
I actually saw...
No, the myth was that you need to shower every day.
Yes, and then the fact is you don't need to shower every day. But then that's also...
Shower every day, bro.
No, that's a preference thing, and it also depends what you do.
What's a preference thing? Showering every day?
Yes, and also what you do. Like, it's a thing of, like, I don't feel clean if I don't shower. If I go outside and I didn't shower, I feel like I went outside dirty. You know, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
But, like, in terms of, like, your health and everything like that, it genuinely depends what you... Like, if all you did was sit in the house all day and you didn't go outside, you didn't swear, you didn't do none of that, you're not exercising, you're not walking your dogs, you're not running around in the mud, you actually don't have to shower. Because showering every day takes out a layer of your skin that is there to protect it and actually leave it moisturized. So if you suffer from dry skin, your skin cracks and all those things, you need to consider, what are you doing wrong? You're showering every day.
Please make that a statement. I want the smoke. She wants all the...
No, but then a myth I saw, right? Okay, a fact, not a fact, because I'm not a myth, a fact, because I'm here for facts.
Yeah.
Is that soap actually doesn't kill germs.
What kills the germs?
What soap does, soap helps remove the germs. So when you put, like, when you wash your hands with soap, the soap makes it easier for the germs to fall off your hands, in a sense. It doesn't kill the germs in your hands.
So
it
what just kills the germs?
Nothing. I don't know. I don't know what kills germs, but it's not soap.
Okay, what about sanitizer?
It's not soap. I don't know about sanitizer, but I know I didn't do my research on sanitizer, but I did my research
something,
on soap.
I did see something that says, what's it? Cleanliness and sterilization are not the same thing.
Oh, yes. I also saw that.
I can rock with that fact.
So soap just makes the germs fall off easier. Okay.
Is it my turn, your turn?
It's your turn because I said the soap fact.
The other myth is you cannot use soap on your vagina. You actually can.
So you can use soap on your...
Yes.
No, no.
So you have to use one, a unscented soap. And a gentle soap, right? There are quite a few that gynecologists recommend. And the key is to use it on, not in.
That's where I was coming into. Like, yeah. It's the terminology.
Yes.
So your vagina is self-cleaning, which is the in.
Mm-hmm.
And then the vulva,
yes,
is where you can use a soap,
yeah,
but like an unscented soap, because yeah, what it does is, like, scented soap and the normal soap that you use has,
yeah,
it causes your pH balance to be messed up, and then that's what causes, yeah, your, yeah, lips to, yeah, secrete a scent.
An odor.
An odor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scent makes it sound, nice. An odor.
How do you, actually, I'm going off on another tangent here. But balancing the pH, how do you do that? Let's say I've used soap inside my vagina and I've used Protex.
That burns on its own. Why are you doing that, guys? If something burns you, it means it ain't right.
But let's just say I've done that, right? And I've thrown my pH balance all the way off, you know? You might as well call me, you know, Lucky Star at this point. How do I fix that?
I don't know. How do you fix that? Because I've never, like, thrown my pH balance off. I've never had yeast infections. I've never had odor. Guys, maybe it's because I've had good...
Is yours original?
I feel like I've had good hygiene practices.
You have an original one.
It's OG.
Whether you have good hygiene practices or not, almost every woman has had a yeast infection at some point.
All my life I've had good hygiene practices. So, like, it's because my mom, like, taught me, like, from a young age, I couldn't use soap. Like, guys, where would I, like, go and fetch a yeast infection? It's not like it's biological that you must have a yeast infection. It's an infection, meaning it's not coming from you.
Yeah,
it's
coming from external forces. Sitting on the toilet or, you know, certain foods can throw off your pH.
I've been lucky. Sitting on the toilet, I've been lucky.
It's not the original one. You replaced it.
I've been a lucky person. So I genuinely don't know what to do when it comes to, like, having, like, issues, like, with odor or thing. I'm not going to lie and say I claim I do because I've never had to really go and search and look for like ways to so I don't know.
Very blessed.
Go see a gynecologist.
Very blessed. Obviously if it's extreme, there are when you throw off your pH balance, it can go from, you know, it can go from manageable to extreme, right? So the manageable ones, because the regular pH balance is pH 7 if I'm not mistaken, right? So if it's too below or too above, that's manageable. And so there are remedies that are like apple cider vinegar. There are supplements that you can buy off the shelf, vitamin supplements that you can buy, cranberry supplements that you can buy. And then gentle washes that will help you restore the pH. That's if it's manageable. If it's more than two away from 7, then you have to go see a gynecologist. Because it might be something else.
So, like, what indicate? Like, do you buy, like, a pH test? Because how do you know it's too below, it's too above?
I forgot what these strips are called now. We used to use them in science class, man.
Oh, the ones where basal alkaline.
Yes, those things.
Okay.
Those you can buy off the shelf as well. So you pee in a cup and you...
And you dip. Yeah. Okay. I should do that. But I don't know why. Personally...
I wish I had your vagina.
No, guys. We don't know, guys. We don't know what's going on. Okay, let's see.
Don't make that a snippet. Okay? Davis, I'm talking to you.
Okay, let me look
for... But I do. Very low maintenance vagina you have.
Yeah, it's very low
maintenance. Do you get waxes?
That comes.
You don't even. You aren't even hairy like that.
Yeah, that's true.
Ooh, I do wish I had.
No, that brings me to another fact.
Yeah.
Pubic hair is hygienic.
Hey yo.
Pubic hair is hygienic.
Hold up! Wait a minute. What?
You are beautiful. What? There's a reason why.
I thought it traps the dirt and the germs and the. I thought it creates like a home for all of these things.
It creates. No, apparently. Pubic hair is hygienic. Like, there's a reason why your body is built the way it is.
Yes.
There's a reason why you don't have hair here. Because what's the reason? You know? So, like, where you have hair is because, like, the hair on your head is to protect your scar and is to keep your head warm, you know, to regulate the temperature of your body. It contributes to regulation of temperature, you know? Like, so that's why, like, there's people who are more hairy than other people. Like, if you notice, like, it depends on which part of the world they're from, you know. So your hair is there for a good reason, but it goes in with preference. Some people don't like hair in their lady parts, you know, and if you are that person who doesn't like hair in your lady part, you are advised to wax, because waxing takes out the hair from like the
follicle.
Yeah, from the follicle. Yeah, from the root in a sense, from the follicle. While shaving, some shaving like sticks, razors and stuff can hold like germs and things like that, which cause what's that thing, ingrown hairs, razor bumps, and so much irritation. Yeah,
I did not know that.
Yeah,
I'm learning a lot today. Goodness gracious.
Also learned a lot.
Still doesn't mean I'm gonna keep my pubic hair, but good to know. Good to know.
It's a preference thing. It's a preference thing. Like both things, it's a preference thing.
Stop. Both things not a preference thing. Stop right now. Another myth is it's okay to pee in the shower.
Oh no, that is not okay.
I thought it was. It's all going down the same drain. It's all going down
the same drain, but it's actually not okay.
Why is it not okay, Po? Since you got your degree and you know every damn thing.
I don't know every damn thing. I don't know every damn thing.
You don't know that sound.
I know the sound. The way you looked at me with so much disappointment. But I don't know every damn thing. And I think it's not okay because what happens is there's a reason why your pee must go straight, because it can cause bacteria like on your legs. Like you can have like foot thingies. Foot fungi and things like that.
What the site
said. I also thought it was okay at some point in my life to pee in
the
shower.
It made so much sense to me until I thought about it. I was like, because I go to the gym, right? And I shower at the gym after my workout. Mm-hmm. So I thought about it. I was like, what if somebody else thinks it's okay here in the gym?
Mm-hmm.
And then I use the same shower. Mm-hmm. You know, the concept of gym showers is actually low-key nasty.
But then that's why we wear, like, shoes.
Yeah, slippers, shower slippers.
Like, shower slippers. Even the shower at home, guys. Even the shower at your place.
Yeah.
I don't advise anyone to shower. Actually, it feels so uncomfortable. I will not take a shower unless I'd rather, you know, my Crocs?
Yeah.
I'd rather shower wearing my Crocs than to shower, like, barefooted because it's deep. It's deep. Like, guys, you don't know.
I'm not that much of a germaphobe.
You don't know what people do, guys. You don't know what... And I stayed raised. So, like, oh, you don't know. You do not know. So, yeah.
Yeah, and family doesn't make it any better. I know some nasty family members. Get your life together.
Exactly. And then, yeah, I think that's it for, like, factor. I think we've had enough factor myths. Okay, so today's game is what?
We're not really strangers. Again, I really liked that game.
Really?
Yeah, I got to know you a little bit better.
Okay.
You're a bit of a psycho.
Let's go. We are not really strangers.
I was thinking about, like, the uncleanliness of family members, and I remember, like, when I was a child, we used to go to the Bundus, right, for holiday.
I can't believe we call Emma Kaya the Bundus now.
And like, the Bundus guys, right?
Gen Z.
As long as there's no Uber Eats, no Uber.
Get Bundus.
It's the Bundus.
It's the trenches, y'all.
The shop is fair. The shop is fair. There's no grass. Please. If you can't wear your sneakers there where you call home, it's the Bundus. If there's dust everywhere, the Bundus. If there's thorn trees, the Bundus.
So you're at the Bundus, eh?
Yes. And we were warned not to leave our face cloths in the bathroom. Like, if you're done bathing, take your face cloth with you
and go
to your toiletry bag or whatever you have there. Why?
Because somebody else can just...
They used to use people's face cloths to wipe their bums.
That's deep.
And that happened to my brother. He left his face cloth in the bathroom.
And then he came back and it was, like, over. He needed to get a new one.
Why I like that? Like... Why?
You don't know, guys. You
and
don't
that's
know
a more common thing than you think, bro. Like, why are you looking?
You don't know people's
wash
hygiene
it off,
practices.
Don't leave evidence.
They left evidence.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even think if evidence is not... Like, I feel like once I leave something of mine in a public place, it's chai. Like, if I leave my toothbrush in, like, the Riz bathroom, it's chai. I'm not using that toothbrush again because I don't know what's
have you
happened.
Ever shared a toothbrush? Wow, we're going so overboard. But have you ever shared a toothbrush with somebody?
No.
Oh my god.
Mm-mm.
Let's move on.
She's laughing because she has.
Mm. Let's move on.
Unless maybe my mother gave me her toothbrush when I was
Sometimes
young and I couldn't
desperate
say
times
no.
call for desperate measures.
I'm not that desperate.
What if, like, in the middle of nowhere?
I ain't using nobody's toothbrush.
So you'd rather just go, like, around with bad breath? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not using anybody's tooth. Guys, I'd rather like...
It depends on who you are for me.
I'd rather go to the mall, like walk 10 kilometers. I'll do that hike for a toothbrush before I use somebody else's toothbrush.
I will use my partner's toothbrush. The whole day I can't use your toothbrush. What do you mean?
There's something about toothbrushes that doesn't make sense.
Nah, when you're French kissing, the tongue is all the way here.
Like, I'd
here,
rather share...
Yet you can't share a toothbrush?
A face cloth than share a toothbrush.
You see, a face cloth is what I would not share. Because
it's external.
I've seen somebody hold, like, one end of the toothbrush in front of them. I mean, of the face cloth in front of them. And the other end behind them. And the... when I...
what... Guys, no.
We're not
but
sharing.
That's an external thing.
Yay, Baba. Amakakamak.
Toothbrush is internal.
Toothbrush is not internal. Like, toothbrush is food, bro. And it's not like food that was regurgitated or anything. The other end, so you prefer? Comment down below, guys, who has a more reasonable preference between Mpo and I. Would you rather use somebody's toothbrush or somebody's face cloth?
You can wash it and then use it. Toothbrush, eh?
Mpo.
I was about to make reference to the toothbrush and then I stopped myself. I was like, the inner ain't gonna forgive me.
My bad, I took you there. I took you there, I shouldn't have. Let's play the game.
Okay.
Let's play the game. Would you rather relive your worst heartbreak or erase the person from your memory?
Yo.
And think about it.
I'd rather relive it than erase the person from my memory.
Justification?
Because if I erase them from my memory, it means I'm also erasing the lessons that I learned in that relationship. Then, I could do those mistakes again.
Yeah.
You know, at least if I'm reliving it, in the eyes, what I'm going through, you know, like, and I know that at the end of the it, I'll get over it and I learned a lot from it. So I'd relive it.
I have no words.
Ooh, this one is interesting. Who came into your life at a perfect time?
Who came into my life at a perfect time? I would say... our set manager at the bank is like, me? What about me? No.
It ain't you.
No. I would say my woman of the word team. Ooh. So thankfully this year... God has blessed me with people who have offered their help in, you know, Women of the Word. So I have a whole graphics team. I have a whole events management team, a whole admin team. So I would say they came at the perfect time because if it weren't for them, I'd be extremely stressed. Shout out to you guys. I love you guys very much.
That's cute.
Very sentimental, right? Why is the thing switching off so quickly? I must change that in the settings. Not boring.
Okay. Scared.
I can't say the word. Okay, who do you wish you could unscrew? Why?
Yo.
Like, if you could take the body back.
Who do you wish?
Very problematic question.
Is there an option not to answer that question?
Like, so you have an answer, you just don't want to answer.
Like, the thing is, I don't know. Let me be honest. If it were up to me,
screw is such a vulgar word.
I would unbody all my bodies.
Unbody. True.
If it were up to me, I'd unbody all my bodies.
Don't say all my bodies like that.
All of them. It's mixing them sound like
they're mini. That's what I'm like. Don't say.
But I'm just emphasizing that I would unbody everybody.
All one of them.
Yeah, all one of them. All of them.
All
one of them.
Same. I do wish I waited.
100%. I was going to get to that.
Yeah.
I was going to get to that.
It's because, like... Oh, the devil is a liar.
He is a liar. Okay.
He kind of just watered down the whole thing to me.
You're messing up memberships topic.
Sorry. You're messing up the
membership.
Subscribe, guys. Subscribe
to the membership. Yeah, guys. Think of the memberships because we're talking about... What is the thing called? Body gigging?
Body count.
Body count, yes. Yeah. So, yeah. Subscribe to memberships. You get in there. Okay.
Scary child, yeah.
a question. Okay, this is my question for you.
Okay.
What is a question you are too afraid to ask?
That's tough. What is a question I'm afraid to ask? I think, why is this coming to mind? I think if I were able to have, you know, obviously an audible conversation with God, I'd ask him, where am I supposed to be? And not in terms of purpose, but more like, where would I be if I hadn't screwed up? Very afraid to ask that, because I know I'd be much further had I not taken certain decisions earlier on in life. So I'm scared to ask where I would be if I had made the right decision. Did you just zone out?
No, I just got the answer.
You got the what? No! Don't share. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. That gives me anxiety all the time. All the people that I could have been and all the places that I should be.
Okay.
That keeps me up at night. Don't answer. Never answer that question to me, okay?
Okay, fine.
Ever, fine. Keep the answer to yourself.
I'm not going to give her the answer.
Don't ever.
I'm not going to give her the answer. I don't know how it came, but I was just thinking. Okay, ask me a question.
Oh, I keep losing track of like the back and forth here. When was the last time someone made you feel deeply understood?
Ooh, the last time somebody made me feel deeply understood.
And okay. You guys can answer this
In the comments. Okay. So there was a time in my life where I wanted to take my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that day I called my youth pastor and something in me told me, call him. And I told him, I was like, this is how I'm feeling, right? And he went into prayer with me. So the last time I felt deeply understood was a conversation with God, because God was speaking through him. Because I had not told him the specifics of what I was going through, but he was, when he was praying and he was speaking to me, he was literally what I'm going through from the beginning till the end. And I'm like, the only person who has seen that and knows that is God. So God is the last and only person who's ever deeply understood me.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful that he was able to take you out of that place. It's a scary place to be in.
Hey, he took me out forever. I'm not going back. No matter how hard life gets. Andibuyele, guys. Andibuyele.
Amen.
Okay.
Is that the last one? You can ask the last one.
Ooh. Ooh.
Why are you shaking?
I don't know if you would react, if you'd be able to. So let me change the question, because I don't know. Okay.
Oh, what?
Are you okay, or are you just avoiding it?
Yeah. When did this become like a Dr. Phil situation?
When you chose to play We Are Not Really Strangers. You know what this game does.
And I did it to myself.
You did it to yourself.
I really did it to myself. Am I okay, or am I choosing to avoid it? I have made it this far because I've avoided it.
Face it, Kesana.
Hey!
But face it.
There's a quote that I read that that says, if I were to exhale, I'd fall to pieces. So you should be glad I'm holding my breath. Everybody should be glad I'm holding my breath. And that it shouldn't be the case.
But exhale.
Like, what? You don't wanna see what me exhaling looks like, bro. You'll just hear coo 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 from the east side of Johannesburg, and you're like,
what happened? And I feel like that's
3.0 magnitude earthquake.
I feel like that's important. Like, I feel like God is only able to build what is broken.
Absolutely.
Like, he needs to break you. Like, you need to be broken in order to be built. If you see all the people God has worked in their lives, when you read the Bible, everybody came to him broken.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And incomplete.
So you need to exhale. exhale.
I got trust issues with God right now. I'm just acting out of obedience for the purpose that he gave me. But you know what I'm saying? In terms of trusting him, I ain't where I should be. I ain't gonna lie to you.
You're not sure, which is fair.
Yeah, it's fair. And it's kind of like, I feel like a hypocrite in that sense. Because I always tell people to, you know, give God a chance, pray, blah, 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 blah. And then
you don't feel that way.
It's but not my reality.
You are only human after all.
I love these little singing moments that we have. I think it's time we move into our long topic, which is quite a... Actually, good segue into the long topic. Mm-hmm.
Trauma.
All of these deep things that we're mentioning, very good segue. So for our long topic today, we are unpacking trauma. What it is, what it isn't, how it impacts your life, how it impacts your behavior, your habits, and how do you overcome trauma?
Okay.
I actually slept very late last night looking into trauma, right? Because I believe that before I did that, I had a shallow understanding of what it was, right? And also, it's kind of also been distorted what trauma is, because everybody wants to label an unpleasant experience as trauma. Like, I got into an argument with my mom, I'm traumatized, shut up. That's not trauma. So I looked at it from, and what triggered my research was I had seen an Instagram reel, and it was a video of two neurons creating a link, a new link. And I think everybody knows that neurons are kind of the hub of life and brain activities, the center of brain activity. So I was like, how is it possible that your brain can create new links? The neurons in your brain can create entirely new links, even in adulthood. So that kind of inspired me to look into the impact of trauma on the brain. So that's what I did, and I listened to a TED talk by a neurologist. I'm going to try and make this as brief as possible. So your brain has two parts, right? And the main part is the cerebrum. That's what makes us different from animals, because the cerebrum is the center of thought. So that's where your sensory... that's the part that registers senses, creates memories, stores memories, creates thoughts, all of these things. Your ideas, your personality, your character comes from your cerebrum. Who calling my phone? Relax. So that's what differentiates us from animals. But we also have the second part of our brain, which is more towards the back. It's called, it's the brain stem, right? Mm-hmm. More particularly the amygdala, which is the which functions or is in charge of the involuntary functions of your body. So that would be your heart rate, that would be your eyesight, all of the things that you don't think too much about doing. And so as it pertains to trauma, also sexual attraction is in the amygdala, so we can't blame men for the horniness.
You can't control it.
As it pertains to trauma, the amygdala is also the center that controls your survival tactics. So your flight or flight responses. And so what trauma is an experience or a prolonged experience. It could be in the moment experience or a prolonged experience that continuously triggers the part of your brain which makes you decide whether to fight or flight, the survival part of your brain, the amygdala. And war veterans are a good example of this. They spend incredible amounts of time in the battlefield, and so they're always in flight or fight mode, mostly fight mode, because they're hyper alert and hyper aware of their surroundings. Every sound means something to somebody who's been in war. And so once they get off the battlefield, it's very difficult for them to register any other sound. The neurologist made an example of a war veteran that was at a concert, and he heard fireworks, and he immediately ducked because he thought it was a bomb. And that response, that ducking response, was an immediate reaction from the amygdala, which was the survival instinct. Of course, the cerebrum could process, okay, that sounds like a bomb. No. Can't be a bomb. We're at a concert, so it's definitely fireworks. But you scared already, me. So yeah, that the cerebrum reacted. Processes it, but the amygdala
already
doesn't.
Reacted, yeah.
So that's the base of our conversation for trauma. Any trauma is characterized by something that triggers your survival instinct. So think about it. And he also differentiated between stress and trauma. So the amygdala also is the center for stress, or the center that responds to stress. And it can respond to stress with tiredness, overthinking. Even your body can respond to stress hormones released by the amygdala. So that would mean insomnia as well, which are also symptoms of mental illness, right? And not to be confused with people who actually need medication for brain abnormalities. That would be your psychopaths, that would be your sociopaths, that would be your schizophrenics. Those people inherently have something wrong in their brain. Okay. But us who experience these symptoms of stress, like insomnia and, you know, disorientation and feeling agitated and anxiety, it's not because there's an abnormality in the brain. So just because something stresses you out doesn't mean it's trauma, guys. Okay.
So do you think you've experienced or you have experienced a trauma? Like, have you ever gone through anything traumatic?
You can answer that first, I think. I need to catch my breath after all that.
Ah, me. Have I gone through anything traumatic? Now that I think of it, I think my parents have caused me trauma.
Okay, how so?
I'm thinking about it. And, okay, individually, so they've caused me trauma in their own individual ways, right? So with my father, I was such a daddy's girl. Like, I was attached to him to the hip and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And then I remember when him and my mother separated, he left. And no contact, no nothing. Didn't see him for like 2 years. Didn't know where he was. Didn't even know if he was alive, if he was dead. Like, he's existed.
Out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. So it was not like a planned thingy or like, oh no, somebody's going away and you register your mind to doing that. It's like an involuntary, like, ripping apart of a part of my world, especially as a child. Because, you know, your parents are like such a big part of your world when you're a child. You like put them on such a big pedestal, and if you, which is not fair, but that's natural as a child, you know? So when that part of my world just left, up and left, and it was by choice, I think that caused me to have a form of a trauma. So now I...
So what survival instinct did it trigger in you?
I think the fear of being left. So the fear of people leaving me, specifically men.
Mm-hmm.
And then that led into me doing anything to keep me because I'm afraid of a man leaving me, you know? And it goes in together with, like, the trauma my mom caused me.
Yeah.
Because my mom didn't like me growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. She reached a certain point in her life where she hated me. And it was like, okay, your father is not there. And then your mother hates you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're living in a house with an adult that doesn't like you. My little sister also was a... I think the environment I was in contributed so much to my trauma. Because my little sister was an ass. So
Aren't they always?
I forgive you. So I think being around an environment where the first people who are supposed to love you and nurture you and take care of you and care about your well-being aren't doing that, you know, caused me to look for love in external environments.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, my natural instinct is to let people treat me a certain way. You know, like, I don't set boundaries. I don't have boundaries with myself. I don't have boundaries with people. Like, you're not allowed to treat me this way because I want to appease everybody because I want to be loved by everybody, you know? And also translated to, remember when I told you when I first started content creation, I was in myself.
Yeah.
Because also with that, I'm entering...
like a people pleasing.
Yes, I'm entering this new environment and I don't want to be rejected and I want everybody to love me. So I think that's what my... trauma comes from, because it's natural. You know, I don't think about letting people walk all over me.
That's very self-aware. I think that takes a lot of thought and remembrance.
Yeah, that's why I didn't unbraid my hair, girl. I was supposed to have my afro. Remember I told you, like, preparing for this topic,
had to think, like, you had to sit with yourself and remember, like, what is it that is influencing my life the way that it is? With you? Trauma for me, I think I've had one too many run-ins with abuse. I think even when growing up, abuse became a normality. Misbehavior, right? Not me particularly. I was not physically abused, but the women, the older women in my lives, the wives, my mother, aunts, you just knew, Guti, any trouble in the marriage, she's coming back with bruises. And later on, that translated into my own romantic relationships, where I was in an abusive relationship. I think I've spoken about this in the body dysmorphia episode. So, yeah, that definitely... I'm still maneuvering my way through knowing what the impact was, because when you're the witness of constant abuse and you don't, I don't think my parents were present enough to be parents. They were present enough to be partners to themselves. And so their emotional availability was for one another, and I didn't get to experience that. So that growing up like that makes you suppress memory. That's again the effect of trauma on the brain, is that it suppresses memory. More so, it makes you numb. So I have a very late reaction time to things, very late. The abuse I grew up witnessing only affected me when I turned 13, 14. And the abuse started happening when I was 3, 4, right? And even the relationship that I was in, the abuse only impacted me 2 years after, when I was like, why do I run away from physical contact with anybody that's not my partner? Why are my shoulders up so high all the time? Why am I always on guard? Why am I always in defense mode? So yeah, I think abuse was my trauma, physical abuse, emotional abuse, verbal abuse, all kinds, really, if I think about it properly. That was my trauma.
And then, okay, I'm gonna ask you, how does trauma in general impact people's lives? Like, how does it impact your life, you know?
So according to the neuroscientist, the impact of trauma on the brain, or the registering of, well, the amygdala registering something as trauma, impacts your behavioral patterns. So the way that you react to things completely changes. It impacts your behaviors as well. So again, the example of the war veterans, he made that they were walking down a hallway and the war veteran had completely forgotten the conversation and was looking at the doors down the hallway to see if there's anybody who's going to attack them. So that was the impact of something traumatic like war on daily behavior, or even thought patterns. So he said that war veterans also overanalyze their relationships with other people, because spies were a thing during war. So you needed to be hyper aware of the conversation that you're having, hyper cautious of the words that you use. And that's what war veterans do. So the impact of trauma on your daily life is in your everyday mannerisms, in the way that you communicate with people, the way that you move, you know?
That is real. For me, it was like, exactly the same, like your relationships with people, how you view the world, you know, trauma impacts how you see the world, how you think the world works, and things like that. It impacts your belief system and even your values, you know, like your values change because of like a traumatic experience, you know. And then so it goes all in all in the same you know, in the same spectrum. And then I wrote my steps on how I healed with my trauma, like what were my healing steps, right? And the first step, I feel like, was recognizing it. So first I needed to see, like, no, you need to see it. Like, you need to recognize that this was a traumatic experience, you know? Recognizing what, like, okay, no, this, the way I'm reacting to this, the way I react to people, the way I treat people is due to a form of a trauma, right? That was my first step, recognizing it. And then step two was understanding where it stemmed from. So I was like, okay, this is my reaction to people. This is how I allow men, different people to treat me. This is how I portray myself in front of people. Where does it stem from? you know, and then I needed to go back into what experiences caused me trauma. And then the third step was talking about it. Okay, so now I've recognized it. I know where it stems from. Now I need, you gotta talk about it, you know? So it was like talking about it, whether it was a church, someone in leadership at church, you know, your youth pastor, or like, you know, talking about it with a psychologist, for instance, you know, if it's really severe, you know, like you go to a professional to help you navigate this, because I don't think it's something that we can do on our own, you know? And then the fourth thing was praying about it. Also allowing God to work in that space, you know, giving God that trauma and praying about it. And then the fifth thing was not to beat myself up, you know? Don't beat yourself up, you know? It's a journey. It was natural for you to react the ways you did because of your trauma. You know, it's natural that that's how you are because of what you've experienced. Don't beat yourself up about it.
It's literally an innate response.
Yeah.
It's the way that your body thought best to protect itself. And so that's how your brain registered survival. And I think those steps are perfect. That's a perfect formula. Recognition, acknowledgement, speaking about it, praying. I think I'm struggling with the speaking. Like, what are you going to do when I tell you? That's my qualm about sharing, you know, my thoughts or feelings. But then, what are you going to do?
But then
Are you going to fix it? No. You're not.
But then have you seen what this couch has done on this couch?
Valid.
You see?
Get out of here. Valid. What was interesting that the neurologist said, he said for brain abnormalities, medication makes sense, right? He's not against medication, like your antidepressants or, you know, the psychosis medication that is given to psychotic patients or schizophrenic patients. But he said combating trauma, right, is a reversal of behavioral patterns because it was your environment that triggered your instinct to survive. And it was thus the behavior that you exhibited in response to your environment that was the reaction of your amygdala. So how you create new pathways in your brain, new thought patterns, new ways to register events, moments, words, relationships, is behavior. Because the same way that you can't think your heartbeat into slowing down because the cerebrum is affecting the amygdala, the involuntary function. So the same way that your thought processes in the front of your brain can't affect your involuntary bodily functions is the same way that thought can't change the impact of trauma, right? So it's not enough to just think you're okay or talk to a psychologist. That's good to start. Talk to a psychologist, and even the steps that you mentioned, they're a great way to begin healing from trauma. But the book I would recommend in this instance is Atomic Habits. So Atomic Habits.
It's doing.
It's in the doing.
That's so
that
true.
You create new pathways in your brain.
That is so true.
And you will no longer register certain things as an attack. Because even in conversations, like abuse can show up in you registering correction as an attack. And the moment you engage your cerebrum, you deliberately choose not to interpret somebody's pushback as an attack, you change the way that your amygdala reacts
that is
to
so
that person.
True. Like, it's doing, guys.
It is in the doing.
It's in the doing. It's in the, like, yes, all those steps. But if you don't, like, you're not making an active step, you know, in the, like, your interactions with people.
Yeah.
Like, I needed to come out there and say, hey, I was fake. And then now I'm like, okay, when I feel myself people pleasing, and I can say, what you're doing.
You hold yourself
and I'm like, and then I readjust. So if I'm like seeing I'm agreeing and I'm like, but deep down I disagree outwardly, you know.
That's why I have very little patience for people who weaponize their trauma. Because that's just the way I am. That's just how I grew up. This is what happened. And then their trauma dump on you and make an excuse for why they treated you the way that they treated you or why they behaved them in the manner that they did.
Where is Percy? Percy must, like, I was literally having an argument, like, we're having a full-on debate about this in the car. And he was like, no, but they can help it. I'm like, no.
You can help it.
No, you can.
We'll give you, we'll extend some grace for you to unpack it and know what it is. But up to a certain point, you can't be pushing 30, bro, making an excuse for something that happened to you when you were 9. No, let's grow up. We are not in charge. We are not responsible for the things that happen to us.
Yes.
Right? That's unfortunately the downside of human free will.
But we are responsible for how we react to absolutely. The things that happen to us, you know. So really, like, there's no excuse, honestly. There's
absolutely no excuse. And you I don't think Jeffrey Dahmer had an excuse. Jeffrey Dahmer had an excuse.
My argument is always, your experience is not unique.
Dun, dun, dun.
Like, guys, your experience is not unique. If you were bullied and that's your trauma, you're not the only person out there in this world who was bullied.
It's true.
Your experience is not unique. Whatever it may be, it's not, like, literally, guys, there's nothing that's happening in your life that is a unique experience to you. It may not be happening to the people around you, but there's someone out there who's experiencing the exact same thing. Like, you are not that special. I'm not gonna lie. Like,
and your trauma is not a license to mistreat people.
I feel like people who, like, accept their trauma as it is are very self-absorbed.
I was about to say.
It's a very self-absorbed reaction because it's an I reaction. It's, you're not thinking of the consequences and how your trauma is affecting the people around you who love you. It's a very I, me perspective. Yes, it happened to you. Yes, you are the one who's hurting. Yes, you are the one with the trauma. But how you react towards it affects the people around you because your reaction has an effect, you know? And the effect is not always internal. It also affects the people around you. So
work your on reaction yourself. Is what defines you.
Yeah, work on yourself.
That's what. Even work on yourself. What's it? Was it a scripture in Proverbs? It said, "If you fall apart in a crisis, it means there was nothing much to you in the first place."
Deep.
So, yeah, it's an indication that there will be a crisis. How you react to it tells us how much there is to you.
Mm. And we're going to leave you with that to ponder on. Anyways, if you've gotten this far, you know your cues. What must they do?
Oh, like, comment. Oh, wait. We are going to continue this conversation. Channel memberships. Please join us over there. We're going to be talking about body counts and
so on and so forth.
And a lot more that has to do with Uyazazi. Like, comment, share, subscribe. Turn on your post notifications. And we'll see you guys next week, Monday at 3 p.m. Baby. Bye.